Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. The text for this morning's address is the gospel lesson read to you a few moments ago from John chapter 2. I'll just remind you of a couple of verses. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee and revealed his glory. Heavenly Father, send us out in your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. There's expectation about a wedding, and there always has been. And some of you, a few of you are old enough, would remember tin kettlings. And there was an expectation that you went to the bride's house. Oh, so you have gone, I can see that. To the bride's home, and you would expect that you would be supplied with kuchen, a beer, and or wine. At least. You'd be very disappointed and wouldn't think much of the bride's father if, in fact, that wasn't forthcoming. And some of you had the expectation that if you wait till after the wedding ceremony at the church and the car drove off, you'd have your trusty rope pulled across the road and you would expect a bottle of port to be given to you. Now, my relative stopped the car twice not that long ago. Well, a long time ago now. And that was probably not really in the scheme of things. But there's so much expectation around any wedding, and so there should be, because it's something special. And this particular wedding today is a place called Cana in Galilee. Presumably there were other Canas around. And so Galilee was the place for it. And we do know a couple of things, that Jesus' mum was invited, and he was invited too, and that's an important part of our text. But the wedding today, and I could just give you an illustration, some time ago, I sat in a waiting room of a small business waiting to be served, and the owner of the business gave me a simple little brochure, which was wedding venues. And I looked through this and thought, wow, this is pretty good, until I got to the last page, which gave the price. And I went home, put drops in my eyes because they were still watering. It's always been some expense. It was expensive also in those days. Just as people go to great expense today to put on a wedding feast, a wedding banquet, wedding breakfast, call it what you like. So it was in those days too, because in those days when the wedding was it more simple than today? I don't know. It's not so simple today anymore. If you're a registered or an authorized marriage celebrant, you have to be aware that when you sign up the notice of intent, that you've got to be on your toes here because they have things like male, female, or other. And even though there's no chromosomes have changed, to the best of my knowledge. And then you have party one, and party one has a party one parent and a party two parent. And then party two has a party one parent and a party two parent. And so it gets more complex as society has more and more to say, but it is a society thing. Weddings are not specifically of the church. We're rather blessed in this country, and there are a few like us, where we can actually have people come to a church for their wedding. Normally, that's not the way it is. Weddings are of the state, and God has made them for all peoples in various ways for people to have a proper relationship. Now, different cultures will do it different ways, but it's still, in fact, a wedding. Now, when this was complicated today, yes, but complicated then too, because you see, the father of the groom and the father of the bride would get together and they would decide who would marry whom, and they chose the partners, more so than the romantic notion we have today probably. But because the family setup was such, if you take one member out of this little community, the family, you need to be compensated for that. And so it was that there'd be an arrangement that the groom's parents would have to pay something, or the groom himself would have to pay something to the bride's father, because this was going to upset the way they operated as a group, as a family. So it was not unusual at all that money would change hands, or perhaps even goods, or maybe cows or sheep or something like that, to their satisfaction. Now, you might think that takes the romance out of it, and I guess in some ways it does, but there's still plenty of it there. The real joy, the real celebration was that here was a couple going to begin their own family and become that very central part of the community. Now, the time of betrothal, sometimes they're about a year, a little different to our engagement where you move in and out when you feel like it. Oh, no, mistake, get out of it. Betrothal wasn't like that. That was it. That was it. That was fair dinkum. But the actual marriage itself didn't take place until the bride was taken from her home to live with her new husband. Now, in preparation for that, great expectations again, and you better not be found wanting here, because this is important. You need to be ready. And so there was oil there. They put their little burners and little torches, and the girls would gather around the bride-to-be, and they would have their lights burning. And then all of a sudden, out of and into the night comes this great troop of guys who come along, and they're with the new groom. Now, today, we have also some terrible things happening sometimes. We have things like bucks parties and hens nights and stuff, which is not all that edifying, actually. But there was still celebration. And the lights were on, the torches were on. This is all very new and very exciting. So the joy was there, and the expectations were there. And the expectation of all the people was that this would run properly. And the expectation was, because the wedding's likely to last a week, the people would come and go from the home, or from the groom's home, where they could partake of the food that he had saved up for a year, hopefully, and enough wine too, because you can run a little low on food here and there, but run on low on wine, that brings shame. That was dead set shame on the family, on the groom, taking years to get back any respect from the community. So this was a very simple situation which Jesus found himself in Cana. Now, I don't know much about Cana. It wasn't very big. I know Nathanael, disciple Nathanael, came from there, and Jesus had other miracles he performed there, including a healing. But perhaps think about, a little north of Nazareth, you can think of Dorian. I don't, anybody come from Dorian? I don't want to insult the place. Just walking distance from Tanunda, that would be where you found Cana. Now, again, an insignificant place and an insignificant situation where the expectations are exceeded beyond anything you can think of. Now, the unthinkable is about to happen. And remember how important wine was for God's people all through. You had it for medicinal purposes. You had it for celebration purposes. All very important. But you're also warned against having too much of the stuff and getting yourself a little bit sloshed. That wasn't on, because that reduces your ability to act in a decent way. All there. But that wine comes through. It's a wine that runs down Aaron's beard. It's the wine, the sweet wine, coming out of the hills, all pointing. Remember, this miracle is a sign. All miracles performed by Jesus show very clearly he is God, he is the creator, he can do things others can't. There are some wishful thinkers who thought the legendary gods of Bacchus and Dionysus could actually change water into wine. Well, lots of luck, fellas. That's just a myth, obviously. But here was the real deal. And it's very interesting the way it happened. Jesus' mother, again, great expectations here, comes along to him and says, look, the unthinkable is happening. They are running low or running out of wine. Now that was something you just couldn't afford to have happen. So what did she think he would do? We have no idea. But we're going to be quite sure she probably wasn't ready for what happened. That was beyond expectation. But she knew that he would be, I guess, tuned in enough and, I guess, sympathetic enough to do something at least to help this groom out. So Jesus' reply to his mum wasn't really what you would expect either. Woman, he said in the translation I have used, what is it to you and to me? In other words, none of our business. And you might think that the word woman to his mother was a bit rough, disrespectful. But remember this, Jesus in John's gospel has his miracles always as a sign. And this also is a sign. Because if you take yourself to the cross, what did he say at the cross? Woman, behold your son. He chose a disciple to look after his mum. And he called his mum woman. So it might sound rough to us, but in actual fact, it was still a term of endearment to them. I guess if there's any sort of chiding going on here, it came after that, because he said, my time is not yet, my hour has not yet come. In other words, yes, I heard you, Mum, but you do not determine what I do, nor does anybody else in the world. No person determines what God does. That's the business of God. We had a baptism in the first service this morning. You can't expect that little infant to have any idea of what faith in God might be, or what it looks like, or what it feels like, how to express it, obviously. What has to happen is God must step in. And what happened here will remind you of Christmas, because you remember at Christmas time when Jesus was born? He was present, obviously, in the manger. Who did the angels go to and make the big announcement? To the king? To the mayor? No. The lowest of the low, the stinking shepherds who live with their sheep, who would not be invited to many wedding feasts. And here it happens again. His mum said to the servants, you do as he asks you. So she had expectation, great expectation, even though she didn't know what would happen. So they watch this event. They fill these jars. We're talking 20, 30 gallons. And don't forget, today, I guess we go back to COVID. Everybody washes their hands, quite rightly, and we try to keep COVID in some kind of balance. But here these jars were for the Jewish purification rites, where washing was very important, not just for hands, but it was a special way of washing pots and pans as well. They needed plenty of water. Again, you have to be supplied. So a lot of preparation goes into this. And of course, the betrothal time was one way you had time to actually make sure it all happened properly. So he grabbed these pots, said, you bring me the pots, fill them up. Fill them up. None of that half full stuff. Fill them up. And then he invited them to take some out and give it to the MC. Well, the MC got shocked beyond his expectations. He knew the wine was running out probably, because he was supposed to be in charge of the whole show. Where did this come from? Where did it come from? Only the servants knew. Not the bridegroom, not the MC, none of the important people, just the servants. And what was it? Wow. Something well beyond expectations. Remember, the sign is always pointing ahead, pointing ahead, pointing ahead. And you can't look at this sign without looking also at the final sign. And that was the resurrection and of the empty tomb. That was where it was going to happen. The abundant provision of that which is could looked upon as a simple disappointment, shameful thing, was now pointing to something much bigger and much greater and much more important. You've got no idea. You've got no idea. Today we have the problem too, where shame is probably stronger than sin in our lives. When we think about sin, everybody does it. It doesn't mean much anymore. But shame, we don't want to be shamed. Well, they didn't want to be shamed either. Now, sin does cause us death. We ought to be a little bit wary about that. It's real, for real. We need help. And where do we get it from? Well, the presence of Jesus is where it always happens, just like here in little Cana. And that water turned into wine. That was not any ordinary wine. Beyond expectations, the MC went to the groom and said, are you all right? What's wrong with you? Have you lost your mind? What person in their right mind would even think of giving out the best wine at the end? You got rid of the plonk, the rough red, and now you bring out the hill of grace and the grange. What is wrong with you? The people are half chickened. They're not going to appreciate this. This is madness. But beyond expectation, this was top shelf. A sign that what we are going to get from our Lord flowing through his table, through his death and resurrection, is the real glory. That's when the hour has come. That's when the time has come. And you can't contain this new life in the old wineskins of this world. It has to spill open into eternal life. For that, you're going to need forgiveness. And you have it. You have it poured out abundantly. You have no idea the grace and the forgiveness which is yours. We have no way of comprehending that any more than those people had a way of comprehending how on earth They got all this good wine on, gallons and gallons of it. It wasn't just to save a simple embarrassment or shame. It was a pointer, a sign to who Jesus Christ is and what he will do for you and for me. He is the Savior. He is the one God sent. And he is the one who brings in the kingdom of God. Now, if you think that this pointer is toward the kingdom of God, you are right. But if you think that I can grow the kingdom of God, we are wrong. Only he does that. Let God do what God does. We do what we do, obeying what he asks. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing and teaching. That's our job. That's the command, and that's what we do. So God's will is done. We are part of this new family. We are part of his people. It's exciting. It's beyond expectation when you think about it. We can't comprehend with our tiny minds, which are stuck in the time and space. We can't have no idea. But overflowing is God's work. Overflowing is God's gift. Overflowing, you'll hear it again, for you, for the forgiveness of sins. And so it is that God's will is done through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we then have our Savior. We have the one who will hold us and we can't hold him. We have the one who will be present wherever we are. And what a blessing it is to be able to have a wedding in a church where even the government allows us to actually conduct that wedding for them. That's a blessing. But it's not necessary. However, it exceeds expectations once again, as will the life in front of us. So God's will is done. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.